Today on Older and Wiser.
Are America's elections rigged? A new survey reveals what people really think.
Who has their picture taken more often, dogs or cats? We've got the answer.
We'll find out how men and women differ when it comes to using the F word.
Oh, dear. Plus, what most people would do if their cars could drive themselves. I would take a nap.
I'm Susan Sikora, along with Bob Bates. I hope he's not driving. And you're listening to Older and Wiser.
I'm not driving. I'm sitting that right was... here. Today, we're talking about a lot of different things. At the top of our list is a survey from Reuters. Here's the headline. Half of Americans think presidential nominating system rigged. People think the presidential nominating system is rigged. Is it rigged, Susan?
I think it's outdated.
Outdated.
I really do. I think it's outdated. I like the idea of the people voting for the candidates. I think one thing that this election has taught us on both sides of the aisle, possibly, is that people are a little tired of the old party system.
Today we are one nation.
Right.
Connected by the internet. They should change the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation connected by the internet.
There you go.
So we all can communicate. We can all vote. Yeah. We all get the same news. We all see the same debates. There's no reason why some people should their votes should matter more than
others. Yeah, well, they talk about these super delegates, which are called hundreds of elite party members, and they can support whomever they want at the convention. Well, why do they matter more than me? Why does their vote matter more than mine?
I really don't understand the super delegate thing at all.
I don't either.
I kind of get the with the two-party system, the voters. Mm-hmm. Went to the polls, they said, we want this person, and then the delegate for that district would go to the convention and cast their vote for the nominee. Kind of a complicated system. I kind of get it, but in this day and age, I think it's time to retire that.
I don't even like the Electoral College. I mean, I know you don't want to go there
same,
now, but
same deal.
Same idea.
Same
it's like
deal.
All of a sudden, there's this filter that no matter what we all voted as people, somebody else is going to make the final decision. And it just doesn't feel right to me.
I mean, historically, it's very unlikely that you're going to win the popular vote and lose the electoral vote. But it does happen. And it can be very close. And, I don't know if George W. Bush would have been president.
I was going to say, ask Al Gore. I'm sure he's got some strong opinions on this.
I know.
Call him up.
So anyway, so according to this poll, two-thirds of Americans believe the system needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I'm in that two-thirds. I agree.
Yeah, me too. All right, just a little note there. We didn't know a lot about politics. I don't want to get too deep into it. Well, now we're moving on to a poll we're much more capable of discussing.
Go ahead.
Here we go. This is from a website called nextshark.com. Anyway, the headline is Dog Owners versus Cat Owners. New survey reveals which makes more money. That's just one of the elements to this survey. But let's talk about the money thing first. Dog owners or cat owners, who do you think makes more money?
Well, I'm sure dog owners do because I own a cat. I don't know why it would have anything to do with anything except for the fact that often the dogs can get to be quite large, whereas cats, there's a limit as to how big they're going to be.
And you're saying dogs can be expensive, so you
better
have...
Well, I think, to eat, to treat, to do anything to, I think it might be more. I don't know. I've never owned a dog because I'm too lazy to get up and walk the dog every single day or evening. If it's not even get up, it's... bad weather, I would be inclined to say on a day that's cold or rainy, let's go tomorrow. But pretty much that's not going to work.
I feel like as a human, we've evolved to the point that we really don't need to go around behind any other species, wait for them to defecate, and then pick up what they did and put it in a little bag and take it home.
Like to see dog toilets.
We're just beyond that. Somebody's got to do it. It's just that it's...
But the dog owners, not the cat owners, have to do it.
The cat owners don't have to. We just clean a little cat box, no big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, time out. That takes some doing also. That takes some doing also. You can have a cat who's a very good pooper. Quite honestly, the more you sift that through, they've got the scoopable and all that stuff. The more often you do it in the daytime, the less often someone's going to walk into your house and go, uh-oh.
Getting back to our original question, who makes more money, dog owners or cat owners? The answer is dog owners, you were right. Mm-hmm. Making an average of $75,000 to $99,000 per year, while cat owners reported making only $50,000 to $74,000 per year.
Okay, well, sorry. No surprise.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
I know.
Well,
so's my cat.
Now, the other question that was included in this survey, which I thought was a very interesting question, and that is, who takes more pictures of their pets, dog owners or cat owners? What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think it, maybe the question should be who takes more pictures of with their cats or dogs, because, you know, everybody's doing selfies now on phones. And I bet it's like, wait, come here, we'll take a picture together. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they take pictures.
Well, it's much easier, probably easier to take pictures with your dog too,
yes,
than with
I
your
think they
cat.
Sit still more. So probably cat owners do it because they probably figure if they can get a picture or two, you don't know when you're going to get one again. I mean, I've tried to get some good pictures of my kitty cat, my new cat, and you know, sometimes he moves.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking, sit still, you know. And I think dogs are a little more cooperative in that, in the posing.
Well, interestingly, cats get more photos taken of them on cell phones. Than dogs, though this survey reveals dog owners take more video while cat owners take more still pictures.
Because the dogs will perform more, probably.
Yeah, they have more
you
to
know?
Do.
You
yeah.
can get a dog to chase a Frisbee. You tell a cat to chase a Frisbee, it'll look at you like you're nuts. No, it's not going to happen.
40% of those surveyed said that their phone storage was completely maxed out due to photos and videos of their pets.
That's not surprising at all.
They need a better phone is what I think. All right, moving on to this survey from nationalpost.com. This new survey reveals there's a broad gender gap in the use of the F word. So really, this was a poll done from the Associated Press. And it says here that women and men report vastly different opinions about rudeness. 27% of men condoned private jokes or comments about a person's race, compared to only 16% of women. So first of all, we're talking about race and jokes about race. Men are more likely to find that okay than women.
I don't. I find that unacceptable.
Yeah.
In this day and age, no.
Only 16% of women, 27% of men. So still, the majority of both men and women find this not okay. So that's interesting. But men are more willing to listen to and find amusing a joke about race than women are. Also on this survey, it says here that men are also more liberal in their attitudes about swearing than women are. 27% say it's okay for people to use swear words in public compared to 19% of women. How do you feel about swearing in public?
Well, swearing and swearing in public, two different things. Swearing alone, yikes.
You like to swear by yourself? What, you sit around the house?
Driver right here. But I would not do it in specific situations, okay? I wouldn't do it around kids. I wouldn't do it in public. I certainly wouldn't do it at in a job setting or at an interview of some kind or where there are people where I do not know them or what's okay with them. And I don't know their level of being offended.
I get that. Yeah. Do you swear a lot?
In private? Privately, I do. But when I say private, I know you're going to find this shocking, Bob, but I talk out loud to myself.
Do you?
And I also think a lot of people do that now. I was very glad when phones became things you could talk to people in your car with. I was very glad that when you get to a red light, I'm not the only one whose mouth is moving in the car.
Oh, I see.
As
yeah.
To the next
it looks
person,
bad.
You know what? They're connected to a phone and I'm not.
That's right. Well, they don't know that. See, for
that's
all they
correct.
Know, you now have a speakerphone
it's
in your
normalized
car.
Normalized my stuff.
You
here,
can
yes.
talk and no one will know. No one will care.
Right. And so when I talk to myself, yes, I curse. I guess I curse at myself. I don't know if that's good or bad.
At the risk of sounding like James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio, my question to you would be, what is your favorite curse word?
Well, everybody on that answers and says the F word, but mine is actually the S word.
It?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, my Gosh, it's been around longer than I was ever using the other. Yeah, so.
So you like that one.
I don't know. I think there's something about the vociferousness or the intensity of the breath on the particular word that you expend that people, you know, it's like you said, oh, it feels good to get that out. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And the other one is, I was a little tentative in using the F word when I first started using it. But again,
in the beginning, right setting. It was hard, but now you're perfectly good with it.
Yeah, well, not at a Christmas party or anything, but.
Well, according to this survey, men are twice as likely to drop the F bomb at least once a day. Mm-hmm. Once a day. About 31% of men report a daily F word habit compared to 16% of women. So that's interesting. 31%. So that's about a third. So about a third of men say the F word every day.
I have one quick question. Yeah. I would want to know in this survey how they found this out. Did the woman tell them this? Did the women say, well, I don't use it as often as men do, or I don't use it very often?
I see. What you're saying is it's difficult to self-report this.
They
stuff.
May be sanctioning their answer right then and there.
Yeah. It's hard to say I never use curse words because you very well might, right? It's kind of like going to the doctor and he says, how much alcohol do you drink? You go, oh, not much. It's you tend to round down.
Yes.
On those statistics. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move along to our next survey. This one from MotorTrend.com. Apparently, they went out and they asked people what they would do if they had a self-driving car. First of all, I would love a self-driving car.
Forget it. I would not.
Oh, no. I want one.
I'm too much of a control freak. I really am. Well, I think that's really what it is here. As lazy as I could be and think, it would be nice to have somebody else do the driving, something else doing the driving. I'd be afraid something would go wrong or something would go.
I feel like I have more trust in some computerized driver than a human driver.
Than in your wife?
Yeah. I would have more trust in a computerized car driving than my wife driving. In this survey, 26% of the respondents said they would feel comfortable sleeping in a self-driving car. Sleeping, taking a little nap on the way to work.
Not for me.
Mm.
My concern. I have to relax to sleep. Well, I wouldn't be relaxed just sitting there. I would be. How can you backseat drive in a computer-driven car, in a self-driving car?
My only concern would be that I would end up at a stoplight or something, and people would see me sleeping. I would feel self-conscious.
I would be afraid I'd end up at the bottom of a ravine and wonder what that bang was. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just in an accident. Now what, you know?
I'm just saying the technology is coming along. These new smart cars are really coming along, and it will be the future. I'm convinced of that we are not going to always have to drive our own cars.
I don't know. Now, see, I wouldn't feel badly if it was something where, you know, if it was kind of a street car.
Mm. Well, 32% of the drivers preferred autonomous journeys on the freeway to autonomous journeys on city streets. In other words, they'd feel comfortable getting out on the I-5 going along.
Actually, I agree with that. If I had to choose, I would rather be on the freeway rather than the city streets. That's where you don't have kids darting out on the freeway. I mean, you could, but it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
Running after a ball or a dog or something, you know. So
I think the greatest time to have, a car driving itself is in a traffic jam. Nothing I hate more than that. Move up a foot. Because really, you're moving your foot from the accelerator to the brake, back to the accelerator. My foot gets sore in those situations.
This is hard for you, huh?
It's really hard.
Between this and picking up the dog poop, you're exhausted.
My fear is that I'm going to be too old by the time they perfect this technology, and I'm not going to really get to sample it. I really want a self-driving car.
I have a feeling it's not that you're going to be too old. It's probably going to be here sooner than later. It's just that maybe everybody will not embrace it as much as they think. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good idea on paper. I don't care whether you are 20 or 98. If you're a control freak,
you're not going to like this.
You are not going to like, you don't like anybody else driving. You're certainly not going to like the car doing it.
30% of people just like to drive, and they don't want to turn the steering wheel over to a computer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I hope the technology will come along because, you know, at this point, 75% of people are still afraid, would be afraid to drive in an autonomous vehicle at this point.
I'm in that 75%.
It's going to change. It's going to go down. But right now, 75%.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Our final little survey comes to us from CNBC.com. And they just ask people, basically, what is your favorite comfort food? Favorite comfort food. Let's start with
Susan. I know
Susan.
What mine is.
What is yours?
Potato chips.
Oh.
Potato chips, specifically potato chips with olive oil from Trader Joe's. There's potatoes, olive oil, and salt. So I have talked myself into the fact that as long as there's not too much salt and I don't eat too many of them, I'm really, it's a very healthy indulgence.
Chips is actually one of the top
vote getters. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
people like chips. Top of the list is, guess what, pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Most people consider pizza a comfort food. I mean, it certainly is the easiest food if you want to just order it online.
Honey, I'm half Italian, so for me, pizza is cultural.
Oh.
How do you like that rationale?
Do you make your own pizza?
No.
You order a pizza.
I'm not a cook. Why does everybody keep asking me, ooh, you want my recipe for this? No.
No. You don't write down anybody's recipe?
Oh, they give them to me, and there's people that I keep telling them I don't cook. I am not a cook. My favorite my favorite recipe is heat and serve. So I look for good things that are either frozen or I will do salad arranging. Okay, you know, I will do a
salad
nice
arranging.
Healthy salad.
Yeah.
You know, I'll eat a fresh avocado. You know, as lunch or something.
Well, neither salad nor avocados were on the list, unfortunately. But chocolate and ice cream came in next,
right.
Tied for second.
Yeah, chocolate.
Ice cream.
Good. I have to have chocolate and ice cream, but it's not like something I can't live without. I can't run out in the middle of the night and go get it or something.
But ice cream is one of those things when you're really depressed that you go into the refrigerator and just hold on to the box and just eat right out of the box, right?
Do you do that?
Yeah. If you're depressed, if you get bummed out about something, just get the box right out of the refrigerator. No. Don't even put the ice cream in a bowl. Just eat it out of the box.
I know people like that. Yeah, I've done that here and there. But
do you eat anything right out of the container? What do you not put on a plate before you eat?
Ooh, golly. There's a lot of things that just are finger food. I had a waffle this morning. I didn't put that on a plate.
Did you take so you took it out of the frozen container, put it in the toaster, and then just ate it with your fingers?
That's correct.
You didn't put any syrup on it? You didn't put any butter?
No. I eat a lot of my food neat.
Do you eat over the sink?
I have. I try not to. It's not, you know, for some, but it's interesting. I don't like to cook, but I love dishes. I have way too many dishes for one human being to have.
I see. So you like to put things on dishes.
Yeah. And then so eating over the sink is kind of counterintuitive for me, I guess. But I do it. I've done it. You know, if I'm in a hurry, I'll do it.
Bringing up the rear of our comfort survey, mac and cheese and chips.
Mac and cheese is good, but if somebody else makes it, I'll eat it.
Is there one thing you're embarrassed to buy at the store that you...
Embarrassed?
Well, food object that you kind of are embarrassed to have the cashier check out.
I think any baby boomer who's gotten to this stage in life should be able to say, you know what? If you have a problem with my buying two bags of chips instead of one, too bad.
Well... There is one. I do have one item that I purchased that I'm
embarrassed.
I have to go in on a day when the grocery store is not too busy because I don't want anyone else to see me buying it.
What?
And I can't go with any of my family members because they won't let me buy it. But
what is this, scooter pies or something?
I like that marshmallow stuff in a jar.
Oh my gosh!
You know, it's just marshmallow in a jar. When I was a kid, I used to have peanut butter and marshmallow sandwiches, and I used to love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the store recently with my daughter, and I thought she'd go along with me and let me buy it. And I just reached for it, and it was a big. We had sort of a tussle in the aisle over the marshmallow in the jar. She just didn't want me to have it.
Did she not want you to buy it because it was unhealthy? Because it was too much sugar? Because it was too juvenile?
All of that.
But you know what, Bob? Enjoy it.
I did, just like you said, I said, I'm an adult. If I want to buy marshmallow in a jar, I can do it. I'm going to do it.
You buy it, knock yourself out. Okay. Of course, if you keep eating, like, how much do you eat at a time? How much of the jar do you eat at a time?
Oh, not much, not much. I mean, I'll just pull it out of the cabinet, stick a knife in it.
Yeah.
You know, get a big wad, like about the size of a normal marshmallow, and then lick it off.
Uh-huh. Put and that's
the,
it?
That's really all I'll have at a time. I don't eat the whole jar at once.
That's pretty restricted. And do you do it over the sink?
Yes, over the sink. I eat most of my meals over the sink. It's really the best way.
Okay.
That's the best way. I eat 100 meals a day, but they're all over the sink.
All over the sink.
All right. Hey, by the way, don't forget that if you want to check out some of the articles we've talked about, go to olderandwiser.com, click on the survey tab. You'll find all the stuff we've talked about. See okay. you later, Susan. See you next time.
See you next time.
And
bye-bye.
Join us and be sure and check us out at olderandwiser.com.